Hi, I'm Haley, author of the book blog Brook and Binding.
And I'm Maddie, upcoming debut author of Take My Sunshine coming winter 2024. And this is
Lit Sis.
Hey, Mad.
Yeah, Haley.
Don't you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. You can see all that I'm reading at Maddie Reads a Lot.
M-A-D-D-Y,
that
right?
That's right, M-A-D-D-Y.
And then don't you have another one?
I do. I do have a new Instagram that you can follow me for all of my author things at @EmmyGlenz_author.
@EmmyGlenz_author. I love it. I also have an Instagram.
Ooh, yes. Would you like to share?
It's Brook and Binding.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to see anything about Lit Sis itself, you can find information about Lit Sis at Lit Sis Podcast on Instagram as well.
Go check them out.
Happy Friday, Lit Sisners.
Hello.
I hope you guys are having a good Friday.
It is really Friday today. It is. For real, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode's coming out a little bit late.
Yeah. It's not always true, but this episode's coming out a little bit late just so we could get it out there for you.
And
because our schedules did not align very well this week.
Yes. Like we said, as you guys know, we do a lot of our recording when we are not together. So it's a little bit harder to schedule our schedules to make sure that they line up okay, or even if we have a little bit of downtime. Obviously, we've got other things that we're also trying to work around, so we can't just, you know, go walk together like we've done in the past and be able to get
back in the day.
I know, so good. But yes, this is coming out a little bit later, but we still wanted to bring you guys Maddie's LLC for the month of April.
Yes, because Haley read approximately 0 books for the month of April. So
yes,
this will be a little bit of a shorter
episode. But you know
episode.
What? I'm gonna say this. I don't feel bad about it.
That's fine.
I don't feel guilt about it.
Good. And that's I don't want you to feel guilty.
I feel
good
about that. And I felt, well, what I did feel bad was that my book the month box came in yesterday and there were 2 more books I added to my shelf onto the pile of so many other books that have not been read.
Oh my word.
So
hey, it's like, almost summertime. It's almost
summertime.
I'm going to
pump stuff out as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But even like, this is the thing too. Like, even when I am able to like get the boys down early for their bedtime, early
which is not
in the
common
summer. Well, but even early in the summer is like already later than normal because the sun goes down later too. So it's like everything gets pushed back because it feels like it's still the afternoon. And the next thing you know, you're like, wow, it's like 8:30 and you're not sleeping.
And they don't wake up any later in the summertime.
No, they still wake up early. So anyway, so a lot of times when I get a chance to read, it is like the odd hour of the day, or like, I don't even try to do it at night anymore because by the time the night comes, I'm exhausted. So if I don't get mm-hmm. any reading done in the middle of the day, it's not going to happen. So,
yeah.
But yes, big step for me. The no guilt of no reading. However,
good.
The guilt is the collection is still accruing.
Mm, yeah.
But
I
so
will
then,
say,
so go ahead.
I will say there's no guilt about the collection accruing because I have plenty, plenty books back home that I have had for ages.
For years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Literally since I was like in high school. Still haven't read them.
I
but
wonder,
it's okay.
There should be a time. You know what? One of these episodes we should count. How many books have we not read that's on our shelf?
Oh, man. Yeah, we should.
That would
too
be
many.
Embarrassing.
It would be. But yep. I honestly, I'm not like being a super speed reader lately either though because I've only been averaging roughly 1 book a week, which I know is like more than you, but for, you know, when you and I are in a good like reading phase, we could read mm-hmm. a book in 2 days.
Yeah.
Or even in a
you
single
can read
day.
Like, yeah. You can read like 2 or 3 books in a week mm-hmm. if you're like really cruising.
Yeah. So
yeah,
like
that's been, pretty normal.
Yeah. I've had like other things that I've been wanting to do in my free time, not always wanting to read. And so I have just kind of been averaging about one a week. So I did read 4 books in the month of April. And
awesome.
I will, yes. Yeah, so I will start with my love. And that is Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders, and The Birth of the FBI by David Grann. A nonfiction book is my love for this month.
I'm not surprised. You it's have a been really writing about it. And then you like randomly watch the movie in the middle of the day and it's like a 3-hour movie. And you're like, I just finished this movie. And I'm like, it's like the afternoon time. Like, I cannot believe you just took 3 hours of your afternoon and did that. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's 3.5 hours long. Well, the thing is, I knew I couldn't do it at nighttime. I knew I couldn't do it at nighttime because I go to bed super early. So if I would have done it in the evening, it would have been like starting the movie at like 5:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. And in order to get it done in time for my bedtime. And there is just something about starting a movie at 5:30 that feels wrong.
What? But, that is not a bad time.
But for, I mean, it would not be a bad time for like an hour and a half movie, but it's also like in the middle of dinner time. Am I going to be like making dinner and then eat and then watching the movie and eating dinner? And that's all I do for my evening. I'm a blessed person. In which I get 4 days off a week. And so sometimes I don't have much to do because I am just married with no children. And so I was like, well, I have this whole afternoon. We typically go and do stuff in the mornings when I have a little bit more energy. And in the afternoons, we kind of usually just chill around. I'll either read or do something on my computer. And so then I was like, you know what? You know, I'll just watch this movie in the afternoon because then I can, you know, have, you know, time to process it and not have to immediately go to sleep and not feel stressed about getting to bed. So I don't even remember what time I started. I think it was like 1 or 2-ish or something like that. And then it got done in time for dinner. So just, it didn't feel like it took up as much as of my day as like starting it at 5:30 p.m. would have. Anyway, I was very excited to watch the movie. It was a really good adaptation, Martin Scorsese. But I loved good
things about it.
Yeah, it was a really, really good movie. But the book was also really good to look at. So I gave it 5 stars. It's hard for me to give a nonfiction book anything less than 5 stars because it's based off of people's real lives.
But you can rate it based on like your specific, like how much you enjoyed it or not.
But I enjoyed it so much.
Okay, well then that's great.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I don't rate all nonfiction books 5 stars. I have rated some less than that. But it's hard for me not to because there's something so compelling about true stories. And seeing this true story about the systemic killing of these, of the Osage people in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Was so compelling. And it was written in such a beautiful way. The book was kind of split into 3 sections. So section 1 was all the history about the Osage, the history about the deaths that were happening, like the theories as to why. So the Osage carried what was called a head right. So when white settlers came into Osage territory, the Osage would rent out their land to them so that they could mine for oil. As long as they paid the Osage a head right, so like a certain amount of money, for obviously for renting and also for, you know, what the cost of oil was and things like that. So the Osage were very, very wealthy at this time in like the turn of the century. And what was so interesting is that they made it so that head rights could only be passed down to like kin. And you were getting reports of people like marrying Osage to like have children with them, or like marrying Osage that already had children. And there was this one person that wanted to marry an Osage woman. Well, he married an Osage woman and then she died and he was trying to like legally adopt her children. And he asked a lawyer, like, if I legally adopt her children and they die, would the head rights go to me?
What'd they say?
Like, they said yes. And so, but the person was like, this was represented in the movie well, but the person was like, I'm not going to let you adopt these children because it sounds like you're just going to murder them. And he was like, well, not unless it works, not unless it's going to work. Yes. Wow. So there was just all this kind of stuff. Like people were just being killed so often. And so the book features mainly about what was happening within this one woman's family. Her name was Molly, and her sisters all were killed, and her mom had a suspicious death as well. And all those head rights were coming upon her. And so it was investigation into most of the deaths in Osage, as well as like into the deaths of her family. So it's part 1. Part 2 is then this FBI person comes in. Before it was the FBI, called Bureau of Investigation. His name was Tom White, and he was from Texas. He was a Texas Ranger, comes to Oklahoma to investigate these deaths. And it's so interesting because the book is written like it's a a fiction book. Like,
yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, it's so good. You get like descriptions of just tiny little things, like this description of the smell of the area and mm-hmm. and the sounds, and it just really envelops you in the story. And so it talks about Tom, and it even goes into things about Tom's family and how he, you know, the things that impacted him that led him to get to this point. And he like gets together a crew of men that all go undercover to like try and like suss out who is behind this, or who, like how many people are behind this. Mm-hmm. And then part three goes into the journalistic aspect, which is the author David Graham goes and visited Osage County in like 2012.
Uh-huh.
And starts digging into some other potential deaths that were never counted, and sees that it was a lot more bigger than like what Tom White found and kind of closed. And there was mm-hmm. a lot more deaths that were never accounted for. And it could have been part of a larger conspiracy and not just, you know, what they found and what was tried at trial. So mm-hmm. it was so good. Obviously, I've been talking about this for a really long time now. But it was so good. And I really recommend it to anybody because I'm not normally a nonfiction person, but I've always been very interested in Native American history ever since I was a young kid. And so I found myself angered by it, the story. I found myself touched by it. And then having watched the movie like less than, I think, 24 hours after I finished the book, I watched it when my husband was kind of like, he was like playing something on his computer, but then he would like come and sit with me for a little bit because he knew it was a long movie. And so I'd explain like little extra things to him. But it was just, it was so, I don't know. I felt it was very atmospheric. I felt mm-hmm. very like, in the story. Anyway, mm-hmm. very good was my love for the month.
That's awesome. So
yes,
and you said that it was very similar to the book. Like the movie did a really great job mm-hmm. just because it was so long and just like the details that it had, right?
Yes.
I love that. I love that. Especially when it comes to stories like that where it's like we really want to get it right,
and
historically accurate and stuff like that, and you don't want to like mess anything up. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Is Leo in that movie?
He is in that movie. Leo DiCaprio. Oh. He plays Molly's husband, Ernest Burkhart.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So since you really, really loved your love, what was a like?
Okay. So my like was The Last Housewife by Ashley Winstead.
Oh, okay. Another Ashley Winstead.
Yes. I will say it's probably my least favorite of hers just because the subject matter is a lot.
Okay.
But it goes into kind of the two, she does really well the two timelines. So it's about this girl who's a lady who's living in Texas and then finds out via a true crime podcast that one of her really close friends in college was found dead on their college campus like 8 years later, like in an apparent suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows for a fact, she's like, she would not have done this. And so the person who actually does the true crime podcast used to be a friend of hers. And so she like reaches out to him after like she had cut everybody off from college after something kind of traumatic had gone on. And so she finally reaches out to him and she's like, hey, like, I think that this is fishy as well. Would you like to go and look into it with me? I have some information that I think could really help. And so the information that she tells ends up being the, you know, the flashback stuff about her and a group of friends who get kind of drawn into the life of this, of their friend's dad, who is mm-hmm. mysterious and enticing and kind of pulls them into this style of life that both terrifies them and intrigues them and is addicting in a way. And when they finally escape that, because it's not great, this is when she decides to cut everybody off. She decides to go back and investigate, and she's starting to see signs that potentially her friend was led back into this life and is potentially like that's someone killed her because of it, because their other friend who was involved with this also died in the same manner. And they said it was a suicide and they were like, there's no way. And so it's very much speaks to a larger conspiracy cult within this society. You would actually really like it, Haley.
It sounds really interesting. I'm like, man, I'm ready. That sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So very culty. There was just, it was so funny because there were so many reviews that were like, I felt like she was like really about to like describe things that were going to be really grotesque and really make you. Oh. Yeah. And then she would just like end the scene, or like the character would escape in time that she didn't have to like be subject to whatever it was. And they were like, oh, she played it so easy. But I thought there was definitely enough stuff in there that made my stomach roll. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, it has her style of writing just perfectly in it. So since the subject matter can be a little hard for some people and sensitive, I dropped it down just because that was the whole book, was this cult and the stuff that they do, which is not always pleasant. So I dropped a star for that, but I did still give it 4 stars because it was wildly addicting and I wanted to keep reading and I just had to know like what the crap is going on.
So would you say that like, it probably could have been deserving of a 5-star of just like how the plot was and the way she tied it all up, but because of some of the content, you moved it down?
Yeah, I would say so. There's also like a couple things, like I did agree with some people that it felt like the main character got away from things a little too easily. Like okay. She, you know, like I agreed with that. I mean, it was needed for a reason, but it definitely, the ending is spectacular. It goes very dark. I really, really enjoyed the ending. And I love what Ashley Winstead does with her main characters. And I feel like she did it again with this one, where like she just writes these really good main characters who really embody this kind of pull between dark and light. So I really, really liked it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think she's starting to be like someone that we can keep our eye out for, because obviously like, we kind of jumped in because Last Housewife, I think, was one of her. Is that one of her first ones, or like
no? It was before. Go ahead. In My Dreams, I Hold a Knife is her first one.
Oh wait, is this her newest one?
No, it was in between. It was in between Midnight is the Darkest Hour. Yeah, I had it forever and just didn't read it.
Got you.
And then after reading Midnight is the Darkest Hour, I was like, man, I forget how much I like her books. And then went back and read The Last Housewife. She also has 2 romantic comedy books, but I have not read them.
Okay. Well, I definitely think she is starting to really make a name for herself in this genre. So whenever we see that she's got something coming up, I'm sure that we will definitely be intrigued.
She has another book coming out in 2025 that I already have added to my want to read, and it's called Future Saints. And I've already added it to my want to read. I know. The title itself, I'm excited.
Love it. Love it. Okay, all so right. Dislike.
Okay, so it's
and then really why don't dislike. You just say, okay, so then why don't you just give like your honorable mention? Because you only read 4, and now we're talking about 3. So what's the one that you actually didn't choose for anything?
Well, it was All the Young Dudes Volume 1, a Harry Potter Marauders fan fiction.
You just reread it again.
I just reread it because I like the first one so much. It's so Marauders energy without anything getting too sad yet. So it's all just pranks and things like that. Oh, okay. So I read that.
That's like a whatever.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to include like that. I gave it 5 stars because it's just fun to read. But yeah, I didn't include it for that reason.
Okay, so then your quote unquote dislike, but not a dislike.
Yeah, this one was also 4 stars. I put it in the dislike just because it gave me such conflicting feelings, but because it is such a good book, that's why. So it's Bye Baby by Carola Levering. And
you said you were really enjoying this one.
I really liked it so much.
But it's conflicting. So you must have liked the cult stuff more than the baby stuff.
Yeah, well, the cult stuff was just so like intriguing. I honestly, I'd originally flipped them in my head, but I was like, you know, no, there was like a part in Bye Baby that it wasn't like, I felt like could have been better. So Bye Baby is about this, these two friends, and they are very close. And one has had a baby, but they were really close in high school, and over the years they kind of fell apart. And so you kind of get the perspective of the one character that doesn't have the kid, and how she sees her friend who has now become like an Instagram, like, mom. Influencer, whatever, and mom, how she kind of feels disconnected because they share, you know, a past together. And she tries to, and they still live in the same city. They live in New York City, and she tries to kind of reach back out to her friend. And it seems like her friend is pulling away. And then you get the perspective of her friend. And yeah, her friend is pulling away. She doesn't really want to be friends with her anymore. But you see this kind of conflict between the two of them. And it honestly was the part that made it so hard is I was like, it was such a realistic description of female friendships in adult years, of how much, even if your friend's not an Instagram influencer, but just how much of it is just seeing your friends from a third party perspective. And then, you know, trying to, you know, whether you're on the side of like, I mean, I want to reconnect, or you're on the side of like, I'm kind of over this, like I'm kind of moving on. Like, it's very easy to see. I've experienced both sides of this in female friendships growing up. And so it was hard for me to read at some points. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, this is so realistic. And it's like, it's giving me these like conflicted feelings, because I felt these ways before. I felt, you know, forgotten. I felt neglected. And I have also felt like I need this person to like, I don't want this person in my life anymore. So it was hard. That was part of why I'm putting in the dislike, is because that was so, it was good writing. It was just such a visceral reaction for myself. And then the conflict kind of culminates in the friend that doesn't have a baby, her name is Billy, ends up somehow, you find out how, taking her friend's baby.
Uh-huh. Kidnap.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And
oh, I don't think I could read this.
No, but it's really so good. Bothersome. It's really good. It's really good because like it's not, I can't say, because it was really good to read. But it's like the beginning scene is like you hear she's like somehow like kidnapped. No. Billy with the baby is somehow like, you find out how, but she's like one level below where Cassie, her friend, is. And she can hear Cassie like wailing from through the ceiling. Like, where is my baby? Where
her baby is. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then she's like, I need Billy. And so she tries to call Billy and Billy doesn't answer. And then it's like, Billy looks down and she, realizing she is the reason that she's upset. She has the baby. So it's like,
so she doesn't remember that?
Like, it's not like she doesn't remember it, but she like, she, it's like, I won't give in too much, but she takes the baby for a specific reason, and she does not register in the moment that like means that she just kidnapped what she did. Her baby. That she doesn't register what she did. She was just like, oh, like the baby, takes the baby, is holding the baby. And then her friend starts screaming. Then she's like, oh, freaking shit. What did I do? Oh, whoopsie. she's like, oh my gosh, what did I do?
Man.
I'm so sorry, listeners. Maddie has a bit of a potty mouth outside of this podcast. It comes out when she's stressed. I'm not stressed right now, but I'm embodying Billy. So the reason I put it in the dislike is I did not like how the book ended up resolving between Cassie and Billy.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted there to be something more to it, but there's a lot of depth to the book in general. That I really enjoyed. But yeah, that part, I was like, it was so deep. Like, there was so much that you had to really think about. Haley, you really would enjoy it, I promise you. But there was so much that you had to really think about that, like, I felt like the ending was a little bit lackluster in comparison.
All righty. Well, that makes sense. I mean, even just, like, from your description, I know you say I would like it, but I definitely think that the Ashley Winstead sounds more intriguing to me.
Fair. I think you could enjoy all three of them.
I'm sure personally. I would.
If you don't want to, I could always just talk to you about My Baby and why I think you wouldn't mind it. But it's not like, I know you didn't want to read the, what's the author's name?
Yeah.
All the dangerous things.
Where she
things.
Like stays up all night.
I think, or whatever. Yeah, I know you didn't want to read that anymore. One. That one would definitely be, that would bother you more than this, for sure. This one, I mean, I'll just spoil, baby comes back within, like, 3 hours. Like, it's, just, like, has the baby with her, and then she, like, is like, oh,
somehow,
frick, I messed
the
up.
The baby goes back.
And then she just, like, places the baby on, like, the doormat. So it's more about the friendship than it is about the baby at all.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the book that you've already finished, that I'm trying to finish, does have an element of a baby going missing, but it's like at the very beginning of the, it's kind of like your prequel. And then you dive into more of like the relationship of the main characters. Mm-hmm. So I was okay with that because it felt a little bit more of just like a teaser mm-hmm. to kind of set up the rest of the story versus like the whole story is like, my child is missing
child. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yep. So obviously I'm still trying to finish Good Bad Girl by Alice Feeney. Not that mm-hmm. I don't like it, but I, like I said, if I don't get around to it during the day, I will not get to it at nighttime.
It's so, fair. Totally fair.
It hasn't worked out super great. It's been very busy and all of my free time during the week this week has been filled up. So I have not gotten around to it as much as I was hoping because we thought we'd be able to tap on a review for today. But I think it worked out all right.
I think so too.
What are you currently reading now?
So I am reading The Younger Wife by Sally Hepworth. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you the description, Haley, and you're going to be like, why would you read that? That's what you're going to think in your head.
The title I'm still not intrigued by. But
you're going to literally be like, Maddie, why are you reading that? But it's...
No, I probably already know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's about... No, but the details, Haley, I'm telling you. So there are two sisters and their dad is going to get remarried to this younger person who's like, could be their age.
Oh, gross.
However, their mom is still alive. She just has Alzheimer's.
Oh, sad.
And he divorces her to marry this other chick after dating her while they were still married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That just sounds like such a horrible situation. Why would you even want to read that?
Well, because something happens at the wedding in the very beginning.
Someone dies.
Someone says, we need a doctor. Call an ambulance. And someone's white pantsuit is covered in blood. And that's all we get. And then it dives into a year before how we get to that. So
that kind of sounds like that... Oh, I can see it in my brain.
The Lucy Foley?
Yes.
Yeah, The Guest List.
Yes, The Guest List. It does sound like that, doesn't it?
It does, a little bit.
Interesting. Okay,
but it's not as like dark so far. But yeah, it's good. Okay. What's really great is the chapters are really short, and I read some of it at work the other day, and I got to like page 100 pretty quickly. And so I was like, wow, I worked the next day. I might be able to just finish the rest of the book. Literally, no, my day was so busy. There was literally no way. But I am excited to continue reading it and see how it goes. And I'll let you know what I think.
Yes. That sounds awesome. So not next week. It won't be next week because I've got a lot of stuff this next week. I'm going to try my best to get this book done so then we can get you a review. But I'm hoping actually to get my Dune book finished that has been like a month in the making. So that'll be really good. And because I'm going to be doing a little bit of driving, I thought to myself, oh, it would be nice to maybe get Good Bad Girl on Audible, but mm-hmm. I already have the paper copy. So I would rather just
try and see if it's on Libby or something because that's free.
I don't even know how to do that.
I'll help you.
Okay.
It's just all right, for your library. Good.
Yeah. I could try. We'll have to see.
Yeah. I told Max about it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway. That is my love likes and dislikes for the month of April. Hopefully Haley will have some for the month of May.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. We will see. thank you guys so much for listening to this episode on this Friday when it's actually Friday for us. I think I've done this before, but I almost said like, bless this Lord for this food. I almost, it was like an ending to a prayer.
and amen.
And amen.
I'm done here.
All right. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for taking a break from reading. Now go flip some pages.